The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're going to continue in our series about the grace of God in the Psalms. In Psalms, there's just grace all over the place. And the text that I've been using is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. And Jesus said to them, he said, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. So Jesus fulfilled all of these things. And I think probably one of the best illustrations of that is David's lament after he had had that interlude with Bathsheba and caused the death of her husband, and what a horrific thing to do. And he cried out to the Lord, you know, "Have mercy upon me, wash me with hyssop that I might be cleansed," you know. And you can, I mean, you just feel his heart. And David was looking for what we have in Christ, because Christ wasn't there for the great fulfillment of the forgiveness, so that today when we have sinned, we know that Jesus forgave our sins, and he went to the cross for that. And that all of what the psalmists were looking for is fulfilled in Christ. So it's words of great encouragement for us, so that instead of living with despair, we rejoice in the Lord. We don't let, when we do sin and we do things wrong, we don't lament and berate ourselves, but we rejoice that God has forgiven us. We don't, having remorse and for our failures, we rejoice that God watches over us and encourages us and builds us up. And instead of longing for God, his presence is with us. David cried out when he wrote, he said, "As a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs for you." That longing has been fulfilled in Christ, and we have him in our lives. So the book of Psalms is just filled with great messages for us. And what I'd like to do today is to address in Psalm 29, and I told you about this last week, that about the voice of the Lord. And this is a powerful, powerful psalm. "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Boy, can you, does that just say anything to you? I mean, you hear David, you can hear his pen just shouting glory to God as he scribed and wrote this down. "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Sharon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." Boy, isn't that a majestic psalm? I mean, just to read it, just it's encouraging to me, and it just builds us up. And as I was been reading through the Psalms, looking for those ones that the Holy Spirit would enlighten my heart to bring to you. And well, when I just read that, I mean, it just it just overwhelmed me, just the thought of it all. Hearing the voice of God starts when we begin to recognize him for what he deserves. Yes. for his glory and the worship in honor and recognition. And we did that this morning. We're doing that. I mean, as we worship God, and this psalm was just radiating in my heart and my mind, that we honor God when we call out to him. We honor him, and when we do that, God responds to us. He looks for us to look for him and to call out and to recognize who he is. The voice of God, as far as man is concerned, begins in the book of Genesis when he said, "Let there be." Now, that's the first, we hear God's voice in the very beginning. Let there be. Let there be. And it's been echoing from then to now and will echo through all the ages. Let there be. And all the things that we see and experience were accomplished as he said those things. Let there be light. Let the firmament exist. Let the waters exist. Let, you know, and all the things in the book of Genesis. Tell you what, you want to get revived? Go read the first six chapters of the book of Genesis. It'll revive you. Just to, and I don't mean speed read. I'm talking about meditating as you read through it. It's words of great encouragement. And it all ends in the book of Revelation when he says these words. He says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Yes, I am coming soon. Yes, I am coming soon." So from "let it be" to "yes, I am coming soon," we're right in the midst of all of that. And we're so fortunate to be here today. I'm so glad I was born now and not before the cross. I'm glad I didn't have to live under the burden of the law. I'm glad I didn't have to live under the prophets. I'm glad I didn't have to live when Israel was in such turmoil and so many bad things were happening, that we live in this glorious spiritual bubble called the New Testament, the New Covenant, and we have so much going for us that we don't have to be afraid, that the voice of God is still echoing his truth in the words of Jesus, which we have on our banner right up here. He said, "It is finished. It is finished. All the old is gone and the new is here. This is the new covenant in my blood, you know, which is given for you." And every time we receive communion, he said, "Whenever you do this, you remember me and you honor me until I return. And the day is coming when the Lord will return." Well, it'll be here this week, I don't know. Whether he'll be here next year, I don't know. It will be 1,000 years or 1,000 years. It doesn't matter, but I know that he's coming. And I know it's closer today than it was before. And when we read the newspapers and hear the news reports and our souls are vexed by the things that, I mean, my soul gets vexed. When I see and hear, I just say, "What? Where? When? How?" Well, I know that God will handle all of these things. It's not my business to do that. It's not my job to do that. My job is to say, "Be of good courage." He said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world." And he who overcame the world is still overcoming the world. He hasn't lost his power or his might. We can only know about God what he reveals to us in creation as a revelation. He says we can know him by just looking around. From the most majestic sound and sight in all the universe to the smallest thing that it takes a super microscope to see it, the glory of God is there. He is everywhere. He's in the birth of a new baby. He's in the death of an old saint. He is everywhere, taking us through this life and taking us through this world. His voice is a revelation to us. When he speaks, he reveals things about himself to us, things that we need to know. But the greatest revelation of God and what God has to say is found in his Son, Jesus. You want to know what God's like? I mean, everybody wants to know what God's like. It's real easy. Just go see what his Son is like. Because what he did just tells us about what God is. You want to know what God thinks about? Look at Jesus and see what he did. You don't know what God has to say? Go read the red writing and see what God has to say through his Son. I mean, he is the express image of the Father. as a messenger, an ambassador, but even more than that, you know, they used to, y'all remember that old television series of Bonanza, you know? And you remember the daddy, you know, I don't even remember the character's name now, but he was, you know, he was strong and powerful. What was it? There you go. And but every once in a while, you know, and he was well known, he was rich and powerful, but every once in a while he'd send the boys out. He'd send little Joe, or, you know, a big horse or one of the guys out. And, you know, every time they go out there, you could, not every time, but I mean, in my mind it echoes that. They'd say, well, you know, Papa said this, or Dad said this, or, you know, there was always, they were saying what somebody bigger and stronger with all the authority had to say. And in an even greater way, that's exactly what Jesus said. And I said, I don't say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it. I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. And he's telling us, and he's giving us a picture of how we ought to live our lives. We ought to not be doing anything that God doesn't tell us to do. And something that he hasn't said that we should do. And when we know that we're doing that, our lives are richer and fuller. We can't understand God until we understand what he has to say. If I walked up here to this pulpit and I just stood here and didn't say anything, you know, you'd pretty soon figure out, well, maybe I need to go somewhere else where somebody will preach to me, somebody will give me some good news. And so when we go to God, he wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. I remember that old song we used to sing. We don't sing it much anymore. And the title of it was In the Garden. You know, he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And the sound I hear, really coming in my ear, and I don't remember anymore. I just, but the thing that I like is that his voice is so strong that the birds hush their singing. I love to get up in the morning sometimes, in the early morning, and I love to hear the birds singing. You know, one of the things we did when we built our house, we left a green space behind our house of it's about 20 feet deep and about 300 feet long, and the birds, all the little animals like it. We got rabbits and snakes and crickets, but we have birds, and I love to hear those birds in the morning, and they sing. But the voice of God, the birds, hush their singing. I mean, what a majestic thought about the voice of God. Now, we can hear God's voice in one of two ways. And there's only one of two ways that you can hear the voice of God. He can speak to you audibly. Now, some of you have heard God's voice audibly. I have. I've had that privilege. Mostly because he knows how hard I am, and that if he didn't tell me directly, I won't get the message. So God does speak. And so people do hear his voice. But the other way he speaks is through his word. If you want to know what God has to say, you need to go to the scriptures. Amen. You know, people ask me, well, what is God's will? Well, my response is, read the Bible, and if when you finish doing everything he says to do in there, let me know, and I'll give you something else to do. You know, I mean, that's where we go to. And keep in mind that what he's written is what he said. He is filled with communications. So today I want us to look at just a few things about the voice of God. God's voice speaks when your voice stirs it. Let's look at this a little closer. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Do you know what David's doing? He's talking to God. I mean, we get to listen, we get to hear the conversation, we get to read what he had to say, but he was really speaking to God. And where the name of the Lord is lifted up, God is stirred, and he moves. He wants to hear what it is that we have to say. Am I doing something? No, I hear it. Okay. I touched this chair. I thought maybe the power was going into the chair. It's radiating back into here some kind of way. All right. When we ascribe to God, the word's a little kind of a one we're not used to, but it means to give. No, just give to the Lord. Just do that. Some of you, because of your religious background, came up in churches where they wanted you to be quiet all the time. You know? And if you didn't, they would you. You know? When I grew up, and when I came up in the churches I came in, boy, they'd thump you and beat you up, and, you know, Lord knows what they might do to you, get you to be quiet. But that is so wrong. I think the church ought to be noisy. I mean, you ought to be noisy. And the noisier you are, the better I preach, by the way, if you hadn't figured that out. But, you know, God likes noise. He's a noisy person. He speaks. That sounds going on all the time. God bless you. That was good. The Lord received that. You know? So it's okay to be noisy in your relationship with Him. It's okay to shout glory every once in a while. Some of you haven't learned how to shout yet. Learned how to shout at your kids. Learned how to shout at people when they're driving around you, but you don't shout to the Lord. Do you want to try it? Let's see how good. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to shout a word that God loves. And the word is glory. All right?
That's right.
So at the count of three, I want everybody to shout as loudly as you can and let it just kind of bellow up, you know? You're not shouting to me, but you're going to shout to God, all right? We're going to shout glory. You ready? One, two, three, glory! That's pretty good. How'd that feel? Some of you just, you've never done that. I mean, it feels good, doesn't it? Something about shouting glory. Hallelujah. I remember when I first got saved, and I was used to being quiet in church, and Pat and I went up to the church up in Bugaloosa, and there was a guy that we went to church with, and his dad had a church up in Bugaloosa. He wasn't a pastor. He was a deacon in the church. And we went to that church, and the pastor got up to speak, and he said, "Good morning." And the guy's daddy yelled, "Amen." He said, "Today we're going to read the Bible." "Amen." Everything the pastor said, this guy said, "Amen." You know, I thought that's pretty good. I didn't know you could do this, so I joined him. You know, whenever he'd say "Amen," I'd say "Amen." I was learning. I was brand new in the kingdom. I didn't know. And I've kind of kept that up. And when people speak, I say "Amen." I say glory. I try not to be obnoxious about it, but I can't help it. I mean, I want to participate because I want God to know and to hear me say that I'm in agreement with what's going on. I want to be boisterous about it. So when we ascribe to the Lord, if you don't know how to do it, just do what I did this morning. Go get this psalm and just read it out loud like you meant it. You know, not just, there's two ways to read this. There's probably more than two. You can say, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, and ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, worship the Lord, and the splendor of His holiness." Okay, you can do that, all right? But it's a better way to say, "Ascribe to the Lord!
Glory!
Hallelujah! All right, isn't that good? O mighty one, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Oh, hallelujah. He deserves glory. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. I worship you, Lord. Oh, in the splendor of your holiness. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! That makes you feel good. I mean, just to do it, all right? I mean, that gives a little bit of life. And if you just get by yourself, you know, and wherever you need to be, just do that. I promise you, it'll make you feel good. And it'll stir God. Yeah, it clears your head. Yeah, it clears the cobwebs out of your head. I mean, wouldn't it be great if every newscast that was on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox and the rest of them would start off with this? "Well, we're going to give you the news today about ISIS and what's going on in the world. Ascribe to the Lord, Almighty Ones." I mean, we'd be glad to watch the news, you know? Now, I know it sounds silly, but I'm not trying to be silly. I'm really trying to help you understand something about when you do that, God responds. You'll hear the voice of God. You'll hear the voice of God even radiating from yourself. So it's not the work of our hands that God is interested in. God is interested in the voice of our hearts. You know, he said, go read the Old Testament, he said, "Listen, I don't want any more of your sacrifices. Forget these feast days and the holidays and all the rest of the show. Will somebody just come into place and shout glory?" That's what he said in my paraphrase of it. And when we do, God shouts out. I read something in and I can't, as I was collecting my notes and studying for this, and I wrote it down, but I don't know who said it, so I guess I'm going to say it, okay? In the eye of the psalmist, all the forces of nature are under one scepter. That scepter is wielded by one hand, and that hand is moved by one heart. It's all about him. Oh, isn't that good? I mean, it's just one Lord, one scepter. He's in control of it all. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite writers. If you haven't read anything by A.W. Tozer, you need to get one of his little books. He's got several. They're small, but they are powerful books. And he talks about how God has great splendor and power. And one of the things that he said, and I've said this before, but it's such a powerful statement. He said that God is as awesome in your life as you believe that he is. You know, and if you don't think God can do anything, God won't be powerful in your life because you won't ask him for great things. I thought about some people that I would say had a big vision of God and heard his voice. One of them was Paul Crouch. Now, I think Paul Crouch is one of the weirdest people on the planet. I mean, I look at him on TV and say, that guy is really whacked out. He would do the wackiest stuff. But you know that today, around this celestial globe, the gospel is being preached through that silly eye who believed God could do great things. I remember he was getting all these bands with the antennas on before anybody even saw a satellite dish. He was doing it. You know, before people ever thought about the broadcasting on TV, he's thinking about broadcasting through the satellites up in the sky. And people sent him money, millions and millions. The Lord only knows how much money he received and was able to do that. But he was able to do it because he had a vision of God who was bigger than most people ever see God to be. That's who he saw. Another person in my lifetime that I believe has done just an equal to, if not greater than Paul Crouch, is Billy Graham. There's not a man alive that I know of who's preached to more people in person than Billy Graham. He's preached to millions of people, I would assume. But he believed God. He believed in the power of God. He's little Johnny One Note. You ever listen to Billy Graham? He's only got one sermon, and he preaches it over and over. Changes all the illustrations, but he's got one sermon. You know, God will save you. Jesus came to save you. Your sins can be forgiven. That's all he ever said. But the whole world listened to him. Presidents listened to him. People of power listened to him. Why? Not because Billy Graham was anything great. In fact, I saw his son on TV not too long ago, and he said that his dad was amazed at all the things that God did through him because he doesn't think of himself other than just a little country boy. You know? Well, he's a little country boy. He's got a big God. He had a good vision of God. Mother Teresa, another one. Just a small, frail woman who believed in the power of God, and she has touched her name is known around the world because of a vision of who God is. Each of these persons has heard the voice of God in a very special way. And they have caused God to stir and to move through them. Man is created to recognize and to worship God. And the very rocks will cry out if we won't worship him. That's what Jesus said. Shut those people up. They're making a riot out here. Hey, you know, we want peace and tranquility. That was the Pax Roma of Rome. Jesus said, hey, listen. If they don't say something, these boulders are going to be shouting glory. These boulders will shout glory. You see the thing between the relationship between man and between God, that as we worship him and shout and give him glory, God responds to that. He moves. We actually stir him. You give honor to God by what you ask of him. You give honor to God by what you ask of him. The centurion. He said, went to Jesus. He said, you know, my servant is sick and he needs to be healed. Would you do something about that? And Jesus says, yeah, I'll come to your house and do something. He said, oh, no. He said, you don't even have to do that. I'm not even worthy that you'd come to my house anyway. You're a Jew and I'm a Gentile, and I know how you folks are, you know. But you don't even have to come. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's somebody who saw greatness in God. Because Jesus saw it too, and he spun around and he said, whoa, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. To believe God to do great and mighty things. Thief on the cross. He said, remember me. Here he is with nothing to defend himself. He's guilty as charged. He's dying. And he saw the power of Jesus. He said, would you remember me? And Jesus said, whoa. Tell you what, today you'll be with me in paradise. God responded. He responded when they asked. Moses shows up at the burning bush. Well, he just said, who are you? Who are you? And God responded, I am. And it's still being spoken of today. And he said, I've heard the cries of my people. He said, you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. One guy at a burning bush who responded to God and asked God who he was, and we're still talking about him today. He believed that something wonderful was going on. I love Isaiah of old in chapter 6 of Isaiah when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And the angels cried, holy. And you know that old story. And when he saw the power of God, he said, man, I'm undone. I'm nobody compared to you. And you know the rest of the story. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And we're still talking about it today. See, if you will just speak out about your faith in God, what do you believe God can do? Most of us can tell us what we believe God can't do. But what about what God can do? God can do great and awesome things if we will just speak to him about it. Watch this. Let's move on. God's voice speaks when creation's voices stir him. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with lightning, with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. What he's doing is making a comparison. He said, all of these things, these big things out here. In fact, one commentator said, well, you know, maybe there was a thunderstorm going on when David wrote this. I don't know. I mean, it could have been. It doesn't tell us that that's what it is. But the power of nature strikes fear into the hearts of men. You ever been out in a lightning storm? You ever been in a hurricane? You know? You ever been out in a boat in the middle of a storm? You know, you ever been out in high seas? It'll strike fear into you. I mean, I've had it happen to me. But the voice of God is stronger than all of those things. There's a great contrast between nature and the voice of God and the power of God. The voice of God is over the waters. Remember Jesus in the boat? The storm is raging. You know what we think about that? We think of some of the little cartoons that they draw for kids, you know, for their Sunday school classes. You know, it's kind of a, you know, Jesus in the boat, you know, and it's kind of a little boat, and it's just kind of a happy day. It wasn't a happy day when, let me tell you what, when guys who are used to boats are scared, it's not a happy day, all right? And there's fear. If you've ever been caught in a storm in a boat, and water's pouring over the sides of the boat, and I have, it'll scare you. I mean, it's frightening. a sudden storm comes up and you're not expecting it, and you hear a crack of lightning, and you know that there's nothing higher in the water but you, and lightning will go for you because you're the highest thing around, it'll scare you. And these guys were afraid, but the voice of the Lord spoke, and Jesus got up and rubbed his eyes when he woke up. He said, "Peace, be still." And they were amazed. They said, "Who is this that who could do such a thing? That the waves stopped and the wind stopped and the roar of it all stopped." It's the power of God. When we see the forces of nature, they're so powerful and we feel so helpless. Tell me you don't get afraid when you see a hurricane coming in the Gulf of Mexico. Everybody around here does. And, you know, and especially since Katrina got here. You see the perfect storm heading, and they say, "Yeah, it's heading towards the mouth of the Mississippi River." What, has it got a magnet? Why is that thing coming up here? Let them go to Alabama. They deserve it, not me. You know, go somewhere else. That Texas need water. Keep that thing out of here. I mean, you know. And what's amazing, it'll be, well, the sun's not out as bright as it was yesterday, a beautiful day. And they say, "It'll be here in, you know, 48 hours. You say, "Ah, no, it's not coming." "Oh, yeah, boy, and when it comes, things change in a hurry." You know? And it's the voice of God that thunders over the waters, makes the hurricanes be nothing compared to him. The things that frighten us, God is over all those things. That's what the point of this is trying to make. And when creation has its voice, God's voice is greater. The voice of God is over these things. That's why we can pray about things. When we see hurricanes coming in, or we see a storm or a bad day, we can pray. Say, "I rebuke the winds in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that hurricane in the name of Jesus." And the unbelievers say, "Oh, you're not doing any good." Don't you believe that for a minute, friends. I believe in the power that we have to use the voice of God through the name of Jesus to stop storms. I've seen it happen. I've been in the midst of it. I remember the first time that happened to me, and it's built my faith up through the years. Pat and I were going to helping get a church started, and we were in a metal building, had zero insulation in it, had a class with about maybe 20 people in it. And just as I started to teach the class, this thunderstorm broke out and the rain just beating over that metal building so loud, I couldn't even hear myself speak. And I got aggravated about it, and I said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command this rain to stop and this storm to go away." It instantaneously quit. And everybody went, "Wow, what was that?" I said, "What's the matter? You didn't think God could do that?" And I thought to myself, that was pretty cool, you know. But I realized, and God taught me, that we do have authority over these things. I mean, we could do it. Well, but it's a practical thing in our lives, but it's a powerful thing to know about. If we will come to the realization that things that frighten us so badly are in subjection to the power of God. We don't have to live under this world's power when we have the power of God. It said that his voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Now, you don't think much of that, but those cedars of Lebanon were the wood that they wanted. It was powerful. It's spoken of many times in the scriptures as a symbol of strength. They said, God is stronger than that. Remember when we came back from Katrina? The trees were everywhere. I mean, they looked like fiddlesticks. If you're younger than 50, you have no idea what that is. Huh? But I mean, they were all over the place. And when you saw the tops of the trees just sheared off like a saw, just broken them off and cut them off, you realize the power of that storm. And that's kind of the imagery that David's given us with this psalm. He said, the cedars of Lebanon with all of their strength. It was a basic building material of the temple. They made deals to get this cedar that they could build in addition to the stones and rocks and all the other things that they used. And Jesus stood up one day at the temple, and he's looking, because somebody said, "Man, these fishermen were in awe of everything." And they walked up and they saw this great big temple, and, you know, and they were in awe of it. And Jesus said, and they said, "Man, this place is good looking." And he said, "You know what? You're not just sitting down. I'll rebuild it in 3 days." Now, he was talking about himself. We realize that. But I think the subtitle of that was, I could build this thing again if I wanted to, because they said, well, it took 45 years for Herod to build it. I said, I could do it in 3 days. Again, we see the comparison of God and the power that he has over the things of this earth that we think is so majestic and so powerful. His voice strikes like lightning. Now, I went and did a little research on this, and here's what I found out. And I thought I should have called Jim, but I didn't have time to do it. It says that a lightning bolt can heat the air to 36,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's three times hotter than the sun. The heat of a lightning bolt. And he's saying that God is greater than that. That it travels at the speed of 136,000 miles per hour. And David's telling us that it's nothing compared to the voice of God. Are you getting the picture of how great God is compared to even the very things that we see? The sounds and light of the universe are nothing compared to God. All these beautiful pictures we saw. Now, you know, there's the old joke is if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there, you know, to hear it, does it still make noise? Well, yeah. You know, and all this stuff you see, these pictures of the universe and these big gas clouds and all these things, we can't hear them. It's a silent movie from here. They don't pick up much sound. We're not able to do that, or we don't think it's important to get the sound. But there's a lot of noise going on in the universe. You know, there's a lot of quaking and shaking and things that are going on all the time. And yet, it all dims in comparison to God. We need to get our vision to be bigger and to see how powerful and great God is. Now, he speaks and the worlds were formed. All he said was, let there be. One of the most understated things in the Bible, in verses of the Bible, most understated that anywhere in the Bible. And this is it. He hung the stars in place also. What? He just did that? I mean, it was just an afterthought. He created the earth and everything on it and said, I think I'll put some stars out there just to make it look good. And when we get pictures of those things, they're so gigantic. And so, you know, we did a video here one time, and I don't remember who produced the video, but it started off with showing us the size of the earth, then it's the size of the solar system, and, you know, it kept showing this, and it would put another image up, and it showed the sun, how much bigger it was than the earth, and the earth began to diminish. And then it started showing our sun compared to other suns, and it showed the biggest sun that we know of in the universe we've been able to get a picture of, and they put that on the screen. The sun and the earth just disappeared. And that's one of the stars that he hung in place also. That he just, doing such a good job here. I think I'll hang a few stars in place also. It's the power of the God who lives and reigns, that we serve, that we know, that redeemed us, that healed us, that is involved in our day-to-day life. That is the same God. All he did was said, let there be. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living being, and we're here because of that one breath out of the mouth of God into that dust of the earth that he formed in the shape of Adam. He speaks and the waters recede. God, Pharaoh's coming, his army's coming, what are we going to do? I'll let these people out here in the middle of the desert. They got this big sea in front of me. What am I going to do? Moses, just hold your stick up, I'll make it go away. And he did, and the waters rushed out of the way, and they went through in dry land. And then when they got on the other side, the waters came back and drowned Pharaoh and his army. The horse and rider were thrown into the sea by the power of God. Do you see? Do you see the power of God in the things that take place? He speaks and the mountains quake. Moses went up to Sinai. Thunders, peals of lightning, shaking. Everyone was afraid. They were told, don't even go near this place. God is present. He's a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Woo! I love that psalm. Didn't think I could sing, did you? Well, just... He speaks and the sick are healed. John wrote this at the end of the book of John. He said, if all the things that Jesus had done were written down, the world could not contain them. See, we just got a little inkling of all the things that he did. He spoke to the sick, be healed, the withered hand, the crippled, the blind, the lame. And I love it when John was in jail, and I don't blame John for being scared, and he had a little second guessing going on. And he said, I think I read this to you last week. He said, go see Jesus' disciples and ask him if he's really the one. You know, I'm in trouble here, you know, and what's going to happen? And Jesus' response said, he didn't say, yes, I am. He said, just go tell John the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, you know, that those who are in prison are set free. That's the proof of who I am, the things that he did. And those proofs are still here today to encourage us to believe God, to trust God in the worst day that we face. And I know a lot of you, and I've talked to you, some of you, you know, people are worried about, well, what happens if the economy falls and crashes? So what? You think God couldn't get, if he can get gold coins out of the mouth of a fish, don't you think he could find you some food to eat? Don't you think he could take care of you? Well, what if my bank account disappears? What if my stocks all disappear? What if, and we go on with this fearful what if. Listen, I'm telling you, this God who created the universe, who could cause the mountains to quake, who can cause lightning and thunder to flee from him, is able to take care of you. And he will. He will not desert you. David wrote another place. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God will not leave you. He won't. You may feel like it sometimes. The fishermen felt that way sometimes. You want to read about faith. You want to get your faith built up. Not only listen to this sermon and reading some of these things. Go read Corrie Ten Boom's books. She's written several of them. Go read about what she said. Put in a German Nazi prison camp. You know, what could have killed her at any moment. And she trusted God and believed God. And God delivered her out of those things. He speaks and the dead are raised. Lazarus! Come forth. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? God is able to raise Lazarus out of the tomb. Don't you think he can take care of you and me? He speaks and time and space were created, and he'll speak again and they'll all disappear. All the things that we think are so important. So, creation speaks, and God speaks louder. Finally, God's voice speaks when heaven's voices stir him. Verses 9 through 11. And in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Wow. How great is that? In the unseen parallel dimension of the heavenly realm, which we don't see with our naked eyes, things are going on. The never-ending worship of God is taking place right now. And it stirs him to act. The angels cry holy. They're crying holy right now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The dead in Christ are crying holy. They're crying holy right this very moment. The cherubim cry holy. The prayers of the saints are sweet-smelling fragrance before the Lord. And it all cries holy. All of these things are taking place right now. Those mourned for Christ's sake all cry out, holy is the Lord. They are in the presence of God, and so are we, and so are we. We just don't see it with our naked eye, but he's right here among us. Remember the story of Elisha and his servant about to be defeated, and the prophet wasn't scared at all, and the reason he wasn't scared because he saw the glory and the power of God. And then he asked God to open the servant's eyes, and he saw things that just amazed him. Fiery chariots, horses, angels, all around him. And they're still here. They're still here. They've moved. I was with Pastor Donald Bryant, Pastor Donald Bryant, down the road to First Pentecostal Church this week, and in a meeting with him, and he said, you know, there's stuff all around us we can't see. And he started saying, you know, that's WDSU, you know, that's Channel 4, that's Channel 20. You know, there's a radio station, and there's all this stuff that's right here, and my hand's just passing through it. And it's true, all those signals are right here. Right here, and my hand's just passed through it. But in a more real way, the kingdom of God and the presence of God is right here, and our hands are just passing right through it. Hallelujah. And every once in a while, the Lord will give us a glimmer and a glance into the kingdom. And we see the power of God and the majesty of God that in the temple of God exists right this very moment in time. The king sits on his throne as king forever, and he hears the voices of his people. He hears our voices. He hears this voice. Oh, I guess all we can do is pray. We've done everything we can. And here's this voice. Let's pray. Let's trust God. Let's believe God. He hears those voices. What kind of voice do you have? You have a voice that trusts God? Do you join in with those in the temple of God? And you are the temple of God. And do you cry out, yes, I believe? Jesus asked this question. He said, when I return to the earth, will I find faith? I believe he will. Because the remnant will still be here believing God. We'll still be here trusting God in the midst of any and every circumstance that we go through. As king forever, he speaks over you the blessings of Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, those who keep the law, these are the blessings. Those who don't, these are the curses. You, by default, keep every bit of the law because in Christ, you have fulfilled the law with him. And because you have fulfilled the law with him, all the blessings are there. And I just went through and made a little quick thumbnail of this. You'll be blessed in the city, the field, and wherever you go. When you walk out of these doors, you're blessed. And wherever you go, you are a blessing. You ever think of yourself that way? When you walk into a place, you bring light. When you walk into a place, you bring the presence of God. Amen. You bring God into any and every situation. I remember one time when I got called out of my bed to go down to the hospital in New Orleans. There was a baby had been beaten to death by its daddy. And I was called out to go down there with another ministry. And we drove down to New Orleans, and we didn't know what to expect. And by the way, let me just put a little caveat into this story. When we left my house, it was raining. I mean, it was a thunderstorm going on. And we took authority over that. And we said, in the name of Jesus, we'll drive to New Orleans on dry ground. When we drove out of my driveway, the rain stopped. We drove all the way to New Orleans. And I'm telling you, this is my recollection of it. And the guy who was with me will tell you the truth. We didn't see one automobile on the Interstate 10 driving all the way to Charity Hospital in New Orleans. You say, well, that's impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible. But I saw it in my own eyes, and I wasn't doing drugs or eating pizza. I just got out of bed. But we were on a mission from God. And when we got to that hospital, and we went to there, that baby was, and that little cradle, one of them little plastic cradles, it wasn't plastic at the time, I think it was some other material, and those doctors and nurses are surrounding that little baby, and they had every kind of tube they could in that child, and its body was as red as these chairs were. It had been beaten so bad, and they were doing the best they could. And when they told them that two ministers were there to pray for that baby, they backed up like the King of Glory and walked in. They backed up. They God had walked into the room. And Philip and I walked up, and we saw that baby, and boy, we just laid hands on it. And we just prayed, God, heal this little baby. Heal this little baby. Prayed the best prayer we knew. The little baby didn't make it. Heal. That little baby's in glory today. in glory today. And I tell you that story because when you go someplace, you bring the authority and the power of God. That maybe we may not get the answer we expect on this earth, but we know that God was there. And when we got in our car and we drove back the same way. I don't remember seeing any automobiles on the way back home. There wasn't a drop of rain fell on our car. And when Philip left me off at my house, and I got out of his car and I walked to my house, the rain came down again. Flooded down. Well, a skeptic, you may be listening, maybe watching over the internet and say, oh, well, I just don't believe that. Well, you choose to believe the kind of God you want to serve. I choose the kind of God I want to serve. And the kind of God I serve makes the rain stops, opens doors, keeps the traffic away, and allows us to walk into a place where medical people get out of the way because they're great physician to just walk in. That's the kind of God we serve. That's what this psalm is all about. For us to get our vision in the right place to begin to see God for who he is. We're blessed. Our children are blessed. Our labors are blessed. Our investments are blessed. That's what Deuteronomy says. The things that we do, our cattle, our land, our children, they're blessed. Don't worry about your bank account, honey. Do the best you know how to do, and don't worry about it. Should I buy gold? Should I buy stock? Should I buy oil? What should I do? I don't know. I just believe you ought to trust in God and do the best you know how to do, and then don't worry about it. Your table will be full. I mean, you can have food to eat, but you're not going to starve to death. And if you starve to death, on your last breath, you'll be seeing the face of God. And you'll say, well, why didn't you give me something to eat? He'll say, because I wanted you to come up here. Here's a table if you want to eat. See, we never lose. Paul said it best. He said, to die is gain. To live, it's Christ, I got something to do. It keeps me busy, until I get to the gain. Yeah, enemies are defeated. I love this. It says you're not only defeated, but they run from you in seven different ways. They run from you in seven different ways. The devil's scaring you, trying to put fear in you. The devil's servants after you, lying to you, trying to steal your joy. One of the worst things the devil can do to you is steal your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you can't be happy about what's going on, if you can't laugh and enjoy it, you'll get weaker and weaker. But if you start laughing and enjoying it, you'll be a lot better. Read funny stories if you have to. Cheer yourself up. There are a lot of funny things. Go read the book of Acts. It'll make you laugh. Some of the things that they did. I mean, you got to laugh at some of that stuff. Peter and John going to the temple. Guy's been sitting there all of his life. Begging for alms. And they stopped. And they said, guy says, got any money, buddy? Got any food? Got anything for me? And where did they come up with this? Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And here's the funny part. And he got up and went, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you see him doing that Holy Ghost dance? I mean, he was having a time walking and leaping and praising God. How about the guy who was blind Bartimaeus, And everybody's all upset about it. Who did this? Who did this? Who did this? And he said, listen, you're supposed to know everything and you don't know who he is. All I know is this. I was once blind and now I can see. Now, that's funny. I think that's funny. That'll cheer you up to read those kinds of things. Go read your Bible. It's a cheery book. Remember the joke about the kids who were going around knocking on the doors in the neighborhood? And people would open the door. The kids would say, cheer, cheer, cheer. And the lady said, what are you doing? He said, we're cheering up the neighborhood. Just cheer yourself up. He speaks peace to his people. His voice quiets the wounded warrior. And I'm not talking about military people. I'm talking about you. Some of you warriors are wounded, and it brings peace to you. His voice is the assurance that he's still King of Kings in this crazy world. You're not going to get encouraged anywhere else, friends, other than through the Word of God. If he's going to speak peace to your heart, you go read about it. His voice sends encouragement to the world, from the craziness of ISIS to the bizarre behavior of our own nation. This brings peace. And he wants us to be at peace. Just receive it. Just peace. Let's do this. Let's add our voices to the voices of those in the kingdom of God throughout the world, and those who are in the temple of God throughout the world, and through all creation, throughout the universe. Let's add our voices to it, and let's cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Amen? And in the midst of it all, you might hear the voice of God saying, amen, amen, and amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
In my soul, and I just got up.
Well, go ahead.
Share. There's the mountain of the Lord, the holy mountain.
Yes.
And it's surrounded by dark clouds, and the thunders are rolling, and the lightning is flashing. And here I stand, here we stand, and our voices are lifted up. And all of a sudden, the dark clouds roll away, and light begins to shine forth. And the lightning cease, and in the place of the lightning is fireworks. Hallelujah. And in place of the rumbling of the thunder is the rumbling of the mighty God jumping up and down saying, look, there's my son, there's my daughter, do you see them? He's turning to the angels and he's saying, there are my children,
yes.
And they stand in worship of me. And the lightning is past, and the thunders are gone, but you hear the pounding of his mighty feet as he's jumping up and down with joy and delight over you.
Yes.
As you stand and worship his holy
yes.
name.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We do join and believe, Lord, that there is rejoicing in heaven even this day, at this time. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for speaking to Janine. Thank you for speaking to us through your servant, David. Thank you for your word, Lord. Let it encourage us. Let it not be a sermon that we forget about when we walk out the doors, but let it be the life of you radiating and encouraging us through all the storms of life, that we might rejoice in the Lord our God. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We lay all our burdens down in your very presence. And we pick up the song of praise and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. 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 You are a holy Lord. And we worship you and praise you today in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And the whole bunch shouted, amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory.